Welcome to After the Sermon. It's a podcast designed for you to dig deeper into Sunday messages for the purpose of application and just to wrestle through those hard topics. I'm Tammy DeLau, and today I'm joined by Pastors Thad Harless and David Baxley. We are starting a new series this week called Passionately. And so, Pastor Thad, will you give us a flyover on what your sermon on Sunday is going to be about?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I was actually, I just want to let you guys know that I was actually up for renaming this to Tam Talk. Because with our new host.
Yeah, my children will vote for that. Yeah,
so I am so excited about where all of this could be going in the future. Yeah, really, really cool. But to Tammy's point, yeah, we're starting a new sermon series called Passionately. And what we want to do, this is perhaps the most important sermon series that we've been in since I've been here, because we're really talking about who are we as a church, you know, and passionately following Christ and walking that out through through about, what, 5-6 sermons in this series and just talking about what does that mean? How does that manifest itself? You know, why do we, you know, want to talk, or when we talk about passionately following Jesus, why is it that we want to passionately follow Jesus? And so I think it's just so incredibly important. And so kind of as we're getting started today and as we're talking about the message, and then we're going to talk about some grow group questions and maybe try to help some of our facilitators as well. I do want to kind of remind you to be looking at our vision statement and our mission statement and even our values online. So, for example, if you were to get on our website right now, you could go to that place and you could look at our mission statement that says to pursue and equip families to passionately follow Christ together. And I think that is just so, it's such a great explanation of where we got our vision statement from. To passionately follow Christ together, right? And then to unpack that a little bit more into mission is to pursue and equip families to passionately follow Christ together. And this was stuff that you guys had worked on, the elders had worked on well before I got here. And it's part of what I really loved when I was coming to this church is just this really defined mission and, of course, vision coming into it. And if I could, I would also... So really look at our vision, our mission statement. We're going to cover this on Sunday as well. But then also looking at our values, and I won't go over all of them, but I do want to go over one or two. And I think this is so important. So when we talk about the family and how that interacts with our mission. So it says here in our values that we encourage all generations to come alongside and equip families to grow in faith and maturity in Christ. Man. That is so good. Because if you think about it, God began this whole thing with a family unit.
Well, I know when I came in and you were reading that, I was like, ah, what church is that? And I want to be part of it. And so I didn't even realize that was on our website. So
it's right there.
A good challenge.
It's right there.
I do want
there.
To be part of our church. It sounds awesome.
Yeah, so, it's great. But it speaks to who our leaders, you know, what they've heard from God and our unique gift sets and all of this. And again, coming into the church, this was one of the things that attracted me because the family there, and ultimately later on when we get into future sermons in the Passionate series, we're going to come back to this and say, okay, what does this look like? And how does this impact us in some of the broader decisions that we make? And then I'd also say this, just bring out one more, and talking about excellence, we have our scripture reference verses there and everything, but then it also says this, therefore, in every connection, communication, environment, and ministry, we strive to do everything within our ability to excel and glorify Jesus. And so when we talk about excellence, it's not just, okay, here's this standard.
Of perfection. Right.
Right. Because none of us are perfect, right? And so, but it's this idea of we are going to try to help each other and hold each other accountable to excel in our ministries and how we treat each other and just all of these things. And so I'm just so appreciative of the verbiage and the wording and what's happening there as we get into this series and as we unpack this further. So, of course, the first sermon in the series we're going to be talking about this week is just entitled Passionately Following Christ, right? And kind of getting into the why. And the key statement that we're going to have for this week is the reason why we, as a church, want people to passionately follow Jesus is because there is no other way to follow Jesus.
Right.
Jesus doesn't give us the opportunity or the option of kind of half-heartedly following him. It's everything, right? And so if we look at our core text there, Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 24, it says this, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me, for whoever would save his life will lose it, whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. And I just, what a powerful description there as he's talking about following him, what that takes, that denying, that losing oneself. Mm-hmm. And of course, even within denying, we have that understanding of, okay, I'm not going to do something necessarily that I might want. I want to, mm-hmm. I want to look to what Jesus wants. But I think when you look into that word in the Greek, there's also this idea of repudiation or disregard for mm-hmm. oneself.
And I think of giving up something for Lent or denying something to lose weight, in my vocabulary, denying means I can pick it back up. Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is a huge challenge.
It's a repudiation. Mm-hmm. It's a disregard for yourself, mm-hmm. period. Not just your likes, but it is saying, Jesus, I want to lose my life for your sake. I want to lose my life mm-hmm. so that I can follow after you, so that I can be led by the Holy Spirit, so I can be led by Scripture. And it's not, to your point, it's not just a one-time thing or a week-long mm-hmm. thing. This is a lifestyle mm-hmm. that I'm going to live. Because even the word loose there can also have that idea of to fail to keep or maintain or cease to have. I am losing my life. Mm-hmm. I am giving this up, Jesus, so that you can live through me mm-hmm. in one very real sense. And I find that powerful.
But I think as we come to those type of verses and we keep making a statement because I want to give up my life. I want to deny myself. I think the truth is what we want is to follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. I don't really want to deny myself in my instincts. Mm-hmm. I want to deny myself. I want to follow Jesus. But when I have that thing in front of me that I love or I've grown mm-hmm. up loving or whatever that is, I know I've talked to several Christians and fellow believers that wrestle with, well, if I don't want to give it up, what's wrong with me? Mm-hmm. And I think it's important just to note, nothing. You're a sinful human being like I am, mm-hmm. battling with my sinful nature. My sinful nature still craves my sin.
So just like we can pray, I believe, help my unbelief, we would pray something along the lines of, I want to passionately help my, whatever the antonym is for unpassionately.
Yeah, I mean, when I think about even different times we've talked about this, or I've wrestled with my life with some of the people close to my life, or even in our grow group, and even as grow groups start to talk about this, I think that might be an important note to have is, sometimes people get quiet because, well, I don't want those things, so there must be something wrong with me. Mm-hmm. And instead, to get real with each other and be willing to say, I actually do want these things, but I don't want to want them because I want to follow Jesus more. And mm-hmm. sometimes being honest about that battle and that tension mm-hmm. is where we start to get honest about what we might need to do or what we might need to see change in our lives mm-hmm. to accomplish our goal. My goal is to passionately follow Jesus. My desire is to live for him. Yet I have these other contending desires for that, that I have to be honest about, to wrestle through, to even be able to begin to walk that place.
That's good.
I think as we look to this and our small group leaders and seeing how they can talk about this, or even our members just coming into a small group, something that we can talk about is contentment. What are those things in our life that if we were to deny might rock our contentment?
Oh, there you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so maybe you'll be thinking about, okay, examples in your own life of, boy, this thing over here, mm-hmm. if Jesus was to ask this of me, if through prayer and time that I, that was something that's taken away from my walk with Jesus, is this going to rock my contentment with him? And so that mm-hmm. might be something to be thinking about in the future as you come into group, or if you're leading group is already be thinking ahead of time about what are some of those things that would cause consternation mm-hmm. and rock your contentment if Christ was to say, it's time for you to put that on the altar. It's time to deny yourself that, or if he asks that of you. And there's certain things he may not ask, mm-hmm. God gives us things for joy, no doubt, and we mm-hmm. glorify him for it. But mm-hmm. if he were to call that thing on the table, mm-hmm. what's going to be happening in your life? So something to maybe be thinking about.
And I think you also just hit this, as you're saying that, we're not just talking about sin. That's almost the obvious one. Sometimes mm-hmm. we're just talking through, the things in our life that keep us, that are maybe even good things, from
passionately
following Jesus, yeah. from being completely mm-hmm. sold out. I think of the story of the rich young ruler who came to Jesus, and he's like, Jesus, I've done all these things, right? Mm-hmm. I've obeyed all the commandments. I've done all this. And he's like, what else do I need to do? And Jesus is like, all right, one more. Just go sell your possessions. Mm-hmm. Give your money to the poor and follow me. And the point of that story is not that possessions were wrong. The point of the story was not that his money was wrong. The point of the story is that was something that he loved more than Jesus. Mm-hmm. And Jesus, knowing his heart, said, okay, if you really want to fully follow me, you have to give up this thing that you love more than me. You have to love it less so you can love me more. Mm-hmm. And none of those things were evil in themselves, but he had to do that with him. And it would probably be different for me and different for you. But Jesus' response to that jumps out to me. And maybe I'm just on this because it's something Jesus has been teaching me, but Jesus' response to him was, but if you're not able and willing to do this, you're not worthy of the kingdom of heaven. And that's a hard statement, but that's where I think passionately is so important. There's no other way to live for Jesus. It is the only way to live worthy for Jesus because of everything he's done.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And Paul even talked about, and this is the place that we want to get, is, you know, I count everything else as rubbish in my life compared to knowing Jesus, right? And so there's this place that we need to get, although we will struggle, you know, but I would like to be closer to where Paul is fighting to be in his life, as to where he could say, and he talks about Romans 7, he struggles too, but he says, listen, this is what I consider all that junk because I know the value of having Christ.
Yep.
And so, again, I just love it. There is no other way to follow Jesus than to follow him passionately.
So if contentment is so important in this whole process, a good question maybe to ask those that we do life with is, do you see me as a content person?
Oh,
I mean,
that's
that, you know, if that truly is a mark of someone.
Or where do you see I tend to put my contentment in.
Right.
But even where
I
mean, both are good. I think because I'm a glasses half full kind of guy. So you're probably going to not hear me say I'm discontent.
Okay.
But you very well could look at my life and say, but I'm finding my contentment in things that aren't Jesus.
That's good.
And then the other side is, why am I not content? It's because I've lifted these other things I want more than I may want Jesus. Not because I don't want to over, you know, we sometimes get negative Nancy and just go after those discontent people. Man, there's a lot of content people out there like me who might just be content to the wrong thing.
No, that's a really valid point.
Yeah. So as we transition there and kind of start looking at Jesus, because I love Jesus' teaching is it's so deep, but then it's also so practical. And so if you kind of transition there, Luke chapter 9, you get into verses 57 and 58, and he begins to illustrate some of what he's talking about here. It says, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nest, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Now, from the Matthew account of this, we learned that this individual was a scribe. So he's probably well thought of and probably well to do, upper middle class, probably that kind of situation. And Jesus kind of lets him know that, listen, this following me, because we also learned from Matthew chapter 8 that Jesus performed miracles, the crowds are big, and as Jesus is off to do, you know, he'll give you hard teaching, you know, like eat my flesh or something like that. So all these people are following. It's interesting. It's like, I can see Jesus, he's got this crowd, and also he starts about eating his flesh, and Peter's like, Jesus, dude, this is not the way to keep a crowd, man. Mm-hmm. You were going so good, and here you are hitting
He wasn't very seeker sensitive.
No, not at all, was he? Not at all.
It's not reading his audience.
Yeah, but it's, read the crowd, Jesus. Read the crowd. If I had my Select channel, right? Read the crowd, Jesus. So he's wanting to point out that, listen, following Jesus does not mean that you're going to have this life of comfort. You know, it's not going to be easy. I mean, he's saying here, listen, I don't have a place to lay my head tonight. I don't know where I'm sleeping. You know, I don't, you know, there's dynamics here in this following me that you're not necessarily going to have this comfort and knowledge and security all the time. You know, following me is going to be an adventure, and there's going to be some tough things there in talking about this life of comfort. I love Paul in Philippians 4:11-13. He's talking about, in every circumstance, he's learned how to find comfort, how to find peace. And of course, that's knowing and having that relationship with Jesus Christ. And Timmy, you kind of talked about at one point in preaching team about your contentment and comfort and what that means at different times in your life and how to look at that.
Well, this maybe will seem like a super silly analogy, but Andy and I chose to have a lot of children, as you know, and our income was not super, super high. And so when I was home with seven kids and I had my spices and I needed a spice rack, I went down to the boys' blocks and I took some blocks and I built myself a spice rack. And it actually was what I did, and it was fine. And I never really thought anything of it because I could have my spices alphabetized and grab what I need. But now that we're in a new season of life and there's no longer seven children at home and I'm working here, so there's a little more money, I got to go on Amazon and ordered a spice rack for my drawer. And so that just, it's just really symbolic to me, just the difference that I could be content either way, yeah. But I'm thrilled that I was able to do that. But I wasn't angry that I had blocks for a spice rack at one time. So
you're living so lavishly now.
I am.
This is what happened when you get your own podcast, Tam Talk. You know, you get your own spice rack.
Awesome.
I cannot wait to hear the feedback on Tam Talk. I mean, I know it's happening to certain podcasts, but people are going to come up and say, like, we think it should be called Tam Talk. You know, it'll be.
There you go.
That's my greatest fear right now, actually.
you should have heard a pre-production conversation here. It was great. But I love that illustration, though. It's so good because you made certain decisions in your life to honor Christ. Mm-hmm. And maybe you weren't able to have, you know, just exactly what you wanted at that moment in time. Mm-hmm. But the blessings and the riches, I mean, you still had what you needed. Mm-hmm. And there was much riches and fulfillment. Mm-hmm. That you had that went with it wasn't the spice rack, and then, but here later on, here's a spice rack. Neither one of those decisions were sinful. Both are good, mm-hmm. you know. But your heart was content. Mm-hmm. So,
and I probably do enjoy my new little spice rack a whole different way had I been able to purchase it 20 years ago. So. Yeah. I'll show you my spice drawer when you guys come over. This is a cool drawer.
But I feel like this might be a bigger deal to you than it may be to us, but we're really excited to see it.
But you know, this contentment, you know, it's going to impact you in surprising ways mm-hmm. in your life and the decisions you make as you follow mm-hmm. Christ. You know, I think of times in my life when you know, mission trips, right? Mm-hmm. Those things are expensive. Mm-hmm. And maybe you'd rather have or maybe it's, okay, we had hoped to have a vacation this summer. Oh, but I really feel like God's calling me or one of my children to mm-hmm. go on a mission trip. I'm going to say goodbye to that mm-hmm. because this is what God really wants.
Mm-hmm. You know, Tammy, one of the things that, as you even talk about this, because I would, getting to know you more, especially the last couple of years, I would definitely describe you as a content person. Like you mm-hmm. live in that. But sometimes I think we think about the word contentment and it's almost like this like this more just smooth, consistent thing. Like, I'm just content, mm-hmm. you know, ups and I don't have a lot of ups and downs, but, and then we have the word passionately, mm-hmm. which doesn't feel like this is just this driving thing. And so how do we wrestle through this idea? Cause I would also call you a passionate person mm-hmm. for what you believe. So how do we both acknowledge the need for contentment as something, an idea that feels more unwavering, right? It's pretty consistent. Mm-hmm. And yet this idea of passionately following Jesus while living in contentment. Like, how do these two ideas mm-hmm. come together in expression of an image of somebody following Jesus well?
That's really a good question, because they do in and of themselves seem mutual, like
they seem a little different.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm.
So I think that's, you know, so as a part of another question that we're going to have throughout our grow groups is when you're thinking about this and you're talking about that passionate contentment, maybe you need to think about also as a way to illustrate this, coming into group, think about, you know, who do you know that passionately follows Christ? Mm-hmm. You know, what are the marks of their life?
Okay, there you
what
go.
Does it look like?
Yeah.
And then as you're seeing that, do you also see that they're content? And how does that all play together? Mm-hmm. And so maybe that's that'll be one of the questions or something similar on our grow group questions that people can be mm-hmm. thinking about ahead of time, or leaders you can be thinking about bringing into your group time.
Well, you know me, the whole Tam Talk part of this is I love to know more about you guys. Who do you know? And if you don't want to use a name, what are the marks of someone that you see that's passionately following Christ?
That's a good
I know. We throw these on our grow group people, so we should be able to answer them too.
You know, when I think of people that are passionately following Christ, I'm not thinking the person that's jumping up and down every time mm-mm. I see them. What I think about, and there are a few people this in my life, mm-hmm. I will protect their names because they wouldn't want me to, you know, talk about them in this environment. But I think of a friend that I know will do whatever it takes to follow Christ.
Okay.
Like he will, when someone says, yeah, but you don't have time to do all those things for Jesus. And then you've got a family, you've got a kids. He's like, no, I got Jesus and he'll take care of me and my family and my kids. Mm-hmm. And he's content with whatever circumstances come at him because he's so passionately satisfied in Jesus. Mm-hmm. That drives what he does. That drives how he lives. And when someone might challenge that value system or, well, you must be exhausted. He's like, no, but I just love Jesus so much. I'm energized by being able to live for him. So yeah, I may feel like I'm doing more. And it's this, it's not a narrative of balance. And I don't want to undermine that because I think that's important. Mm-hmm. It's a narrative of what is he most passionate about? Mm-hmm. And it really is whatever it takes. I want to serve Jesus well. I want to be in my time with Jesus. I want to love my family for Jesus. I want to serve others for Jesus. I want to lift other people up for Jesus. Mm-hmm. And in his example, I do see him always content. And I mean, in the human sense that we all have struggles and failures and we have rough days, but he is an example of what I would say a solid, and yet his life is driven, has a passion, passional deny of self, passional commitment. Everything filters through that love for Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I think that's maybe where those two worlds mm-hmm. come together so well.
Mm-hmm. I think of, I was blessed to know a gentleman. He's no longer with us. He was our Campus Crusade director when Andy and I were kids at UWL, but those decade between seems to cease at some point, and they became dear friends of ours. And he loved the Lord like I have never seen anyone love the Lord. And his eldest son was in a ski accident and he was injured. And so I was in Madison in the ICU with him, and he's got his head in his lap and he is just quoting the scriptures about serving a suffering Savior and mm-hmm. us needing to suffer ourselves. And it was like you just watch mm-hmm. all of his passion for memorizing and standing on the truth of who God was, and how he, those verses came alive to him, and how it was his son and he is ministering to all of us that are grieving in that room. So yeah, it was super cool. Do you have someone in your life that you think of?
Yeah, I think a few people, but I think the one I'm going to use is Dr. Powell. He was, he's been a pastor in Canada for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. He was the dean of our leadership program mm-hmm. at Carolina University for a number of years. He was a professor of mine. And he was so passionate about Jesus, and he was the most graceful, content, nothing flustered him mm-hmm. because he had Christ all over him, had the Spirit all over him, and he was just gracious and calm mm-hmm. and just, I don't know, he's kind of like one of those role models slash heroes. He's a guy that I can still yeah. call today mm-hmm. and say, Dr. Powell, you know, mm-hmm. here's this. And even if I'm like all nervous about it, you know, it's calm, mm-hmm. God has it, Jesus has it, let me share. And he just, he just has that calmness about him that just calms you instantly. And mm-hmm. so I've just always appreciated Dr. Powell and the fact that he's walked this road ahead of me for decades more than mm-hmm. I have. It's just so great to have in my life. Cool. So he's one guy that I would certainly okay. put in that category. So mm-hmm. Awesome. I know I've got to pick up the pace just a little bit.
Go for it.
But talking also that Jesus shows us in verses 59 through 60, you know, he says to another person, you know, follow me. They said, first, let me go and bury my father. And Jesus says to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. As for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Now, we also know that in the Matthew version of this, that this is, he's called a disciple or a follower. So he's at least, and I wouldn't say disciple with a big D, but at least someone who's following Jesus mm-hmm. at this time. Mm-hmm. And it's just so, and there's things we'll talk about in the sermon about, hey, this is kind of what this means, probably contextually, historically, what's mm-hmm. happening here. But the bottom line is this, is there's no conditions to following Jesus. Mm-hmm. We talk about following passionately. You can't say that, you know, hey, well, after my kids graduate or, mm-hmm. or after whatever, there's these conditions and then I will follow Jesus, right? Or I'll follow him more closely. No, to be in a relationship with Jesus is to follow him right now. Mm-hmm. And so there's so many different things that we can talk about that mm-hmm. People are talking about, I'm going to do this then or and whatnot. And we'll get into it more in the sermon. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important to look at this idea. You know, are we putting conditions on following Jesus?
Mm-hmm. And then right. That's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, and again, we do, you know, you're in high school. Well, when I graduate, mm-hmm. you know, or college, when I graduate, or when I get married, or when my kids get out of the house, or just whatever.
Or mm-hmm. when summer's over.
Right.
I wasn't going to say it, but he said it.
Or
yeah.
I was saving it for the vacation season's done. Right. Or okay, we want to move on. Okay.
Just for a minute.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with a vacation.
That's exactly right. There's nothing wrong. Right. I got back from a 2-week one just a couple weeks ago.
And we need that recharging. But there does need to be this place where we say, but I'm not going to just put Jesus on the side, play all summer, and then all of a sudden come back to my faith. It needs to be something to where, and again, we're not talking about just church attendance here.
We're talking about
your life, you know.
And this is a cultural thing. Like, I was surprised, and I will admit this, that, you know, I've been growing up in the South. And again, it's partially because I understand it's like, you know.
We have like 3 good months.
Yeah, yeah. And I get that. Like, I have my motorcycle reason and boating season for like, you know, 3.5 months at best, right? But at the same time, I think that's something that has really challenged me, or even during different sports seasons, right? Mm-hmm. Or whatever it might be, where these other things are popping up, hunting seasons and things where we tend to say, okay, well, you know, I'll get back to those things that I know are important in my life because these things are popping up. And I think we just have to watch that in our faith with God, because they, not because any of those are inherently bad, but I think we got to ask ourselves, but are they robbing me? Are they coming at me and saying, because maybe now in the season, I'm more passionate about those than those other things. That's tough.
Well, and I think it's dangerous, because it's so easy to think, well, when my kids grow up, well, then they grow up. Well, now my kids are in soccer. Well, when soccer is done, and then you get to be my age, and then you have aging parents. And so there's always something.
That's
there's
a good
always
word right there.
A voice.
That's the bigger word.
Yeah. That's calling our names. And so what voice are we going to listen to? And not that we shouldn't love our young children and our children in high school and our parents, but we need to make Jesus our priority.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
So right along with that, as we're getting ready to close, is this idea of an undivided life. Jesus tells us in one gentleman that says in verses 61 to 62, you know, I'll follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my home. And Jesus said to him, no one puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. You can't try to plow this straight line and always be looking back. So one of the great questions that we might, or we're going to have for small group leaders is this idea of what's dividing your life, right? And it goes along with the earlier point there, but also what's dividing your life? What do you know of right now that is causing you to look back or taking your focus off God? It's not just the condition saying, well, when this happens, no, you're trying to follow God right now, but what's that thing that just keeps getting you off track? You know, that kind of thing. So,
I mean, you haven't had the privilege of teaching a child to drive yet, have you? Mm-mm. Yeah, that's special, because if they don't keep their eyes where they're going, you're over in the left or the right. So I've got a 15-year-old.
My wife would say, you don't need to have a child. You just need to have me driving. And I'm still wrestling with that.
Absolutely. Last thoughts here. I would also say that as I looked at these verses, some things we really didn't talk about as much, but verses 25 and 26 there in Luke chapter 9, it also talks the idea about gain the whole world and lose your soul, right? We're going to struggle with worldly thoughts, you know, our desires. And then even in verse 26, if you're ashamed of me and my words, you know, living in this council culture and words being so powerful, how do we wrestle with that tension as well? How do we communicate well, not be ashamed of Jesus' words, but still present Jesus' words? So all that's wrapped up in it, and this life call to passionately follow Jesus.
And you have a closing thing that you say at the end that I think, because I want to come back to you, and you say, are you willing to?
Yeah.
And even as we make those comments about those things are even good, and again, I joke about my boating or the summer or hunting or footballs or sports or whatever the thing is, like, just the point of that is, I think, coming back to that question, are you willing to say, Jesus, is there something I'm more passionate about than you? Am I willing to lose something I love, willing to lose a comfort, willing to give up maybe even an idea or a dream I had for what my life was going to look like, for what I was going to do, because for the invitation to deny self and passionately follow Christ. And so even as we put all those things out there, if the first instinct is, oh, I can't believe he said that, I'm so mad he said that, just pause for a moment and be willing to say, and maybe have these real discussions in the bro group a little bit. I did not like it when Dad said that, or I didn't like it when David said that, or Tammy said that, but why? Is there something maybe we might be holding on to? Something we're struggling to say, I'm willing to give up? And just that closing question you have in your message, brother, I think if there's one thing they're willing to, at the end of the the time in the Grow Group come back to and say, what is it that we struggle saying I'm willing to give up? Mm-hmm. And maybe how do we help each other walk that to start to give that up, to passionately follow Jesus back?
That's good.
Awesome.
Well, thank you for joining us. I hope you have as much fun listening to us as we have doing this. We have a good time. Bye-bye.